What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with hogsports.com. As I was saying, not 100% today, as I would assume most of you guys are after celebrating the land of the free, home of the brave, the 250-year anniversary of this country. And I hope it was a great weekend for you, as it was for me, but definitely feeling it a little bit on this Monday. So, what are we going to talk about today? Whatever you want to talk about. I mean, we're getting to that kind of stretch. We're right before SEC Media Days. We are, 60-something days away from the season starting. So it's a recruiting dead period. So we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. You get your questions in and I'll answer them, as long as they're not lewd. All that and more on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. The Crane Automotive team knows stretching your dollar is important. With prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane team. Visit craneteam.com.
So some sad news over the weekend. Obviously, Bill Burnett passed away on the 4th of July. Supposed to be in do not disturb mode. 46 rushing touchdowns over a 3-year span, played under Frank Broyles. His record was broken by Alex Collins. He had 19 touchdowns in 1969. That was on Best of Arkansas. No, excuse me, that was on Whole Hog Sports. So, sad deal, 78 years old. We don't talk about all the former Razorbacks. I mean, there would be something every single day. But he was certainly one that, for a guy, 1969, 68, 69, 70, was a name that everybody remembers. So, Darius Acuff scored 25 points in his debut in the summer league. He was not super efficient, actually. He was 9 of 29 from the floor, 1 of 9 from three-point range, but he still scored 25 points. So he averaged 23.5 points, 6.4 assists, 3.1 rebounds. But he was – like, they were featuring him on SportsCenter and stuff. Obviously, it's, that time of year, you're either showing World Cup stuff or summer league basketball. But it was cool to see so much coverage for Darius Acuff in his first game. We are, as I mentioned, in a recruiting dead period that started June 22nd. It runs through July 31st. So all the way up until just about when fall camp begins, which the players are going to report on August 4th, and August 5th will be the first practice. That's 29 days out from the first game is when you get to start practice. And it's going to be a shorter fall camp this year. School starts on like the 11th or 16th. I get it confused because my daughter's school starts like a week different. So I can't even remember. I think it's the 16th, but I might be wrong on that. But it's a short fall camp. So that means they're going to, have camp and then start school, and they'll go into like a regular practice time, which I'm told are going to be morning practices, which I really like because I get up anyway. I take my daughter to school and then I just start work. Usually I'm back home about 8 o'clock and I just work all day. And if they have press conferences at night, then they just do. And I end up working all day, but morning practices, that changes things for me. That allows me to do, the work in the morning, work a normal, maybe 9 to 5. I don't know. I don't know what that's like, but shout out to Ryan Silverfield for making that happen. Arkansas is currently at 24 commitments. They have the 30th ranked recruiting class in the country. Silverfield has said and has repeatedly said and has even told me they're going to sign a full class. So they're going to sign 25 high school recruits. That doesn't mean they're going to go out and sign 25 stars. And, I've been messing around a little bit with the EA Sports College Football game. They've got NIL and you've got to, manage your money and your budget and all this kind of stuff. And I find myself like I drew North Carolina. We had 32 teams in our draft, and I drew North Carolina. I don't have that much budget, you know. So, like, do I angle towards three-star recruits and then hit the transfer portal heavy? You know, do I just go out and try to find big-time recruits? You know, you got to be efficient with your money, and I think that's what Arkansas is trying to do. They do have 4 four-star recruits, a lot of guys that are like the 5.7 three-star range, as we used to say back in the Rivals days, but high-end three-star recruits also. And that's not atypical from what Arkansas has usually done. I think where Arkansas is able to step its game up as a program is going out and getting guys who are ready to play in the transfer portal. But they do have Keith Richmond, who's a 4-star edge. Elijah Shaw is a 4-star offensive tackle. Adefi Aruru is a 4-star offensive guard. And Jabari Watkins is a 4-star athlete, like a likely wide receiver. And they've got, you know, a number of guys like that. As far as basketball, we're expecting Caleb Arigiu, I guess that's how you say it, Arigiu, to make a decision at some point soon, but he hasn't yet. Arkansas, Alabama, Auburn, BYU, Baylor are thought to be the front runners for him. He is a class of 2027, but the thought is that he will reclassify, 6'10", 240 pounds. And if he reclassifies to 2026, that just makes that class that much stronger. Right now, Arkansas has the number one ranked recruiting class in the country with J.J. Andrews, Abdu Toure, Jordan Smith, Mika Murinen, Maper Maker, and that doesn't even include Davion Thompson, who's a 2027 commit, the number 21 overall prospect in the country for the 2027 class. But also, the thought is that he could very well reclassify to 2026, which, you know, makes sense. Like, it doesn't mean you, like, you come here for a year, you don't play as much because you're a younger guy. You come here, you make money at Arkansas for a year instead of being in high school, and, you know, you come back the next year and maybe you're the go-to guy. So FIFA World Cup has been exciting. It's been fun. I'm not a big soccer guy. I'm sure most of you guys aren't either, but obviously we're all watching soccer right now because it's in America. It's a big deal as far as the world scope goes. And it's been fun. I watched basically all the Mexico and England game yesterday. That was really entertaining. Obviously, the United States plays Belgium. That's tonight. Is that 7 o'clock Eastern or Central? I think that's Central time. But they play Belgium tonight, and there's been some controversy with the red card stuff. I don't even know the guy's name, really. It starts with a B, you know. But I guess under Article 20, first of all, I'm not a soccer expert. I played kindergarten through sixth grade, sure, but I'm not an expert at soccer. But it didn't look like it was intentional. And I know, like, you can't come in, like, with your cleats up and stuff like that. You know, even if you didn't mean to hurt the guy, you came in with your cleats up. But this, you know, he stepped on his ankle. There's been other things that we've seen where players have stepped on somebody's ankle, but they came back, red card, and then really took too long just to enact Article 27, which is it's a suspension. Basically, it's a probation. You put you're on a probationary period for a year, basically. So if you do it again, then the penalty is enforced. But right now, it's just deferred. So I don't think that's an unfair, and I don't think it should have been a red card. But again, I'm not a soccer expert at all. But it seems like, you know, there's been mixed reviews from experts, especially in Belgium, but people I've seen on the news seem to agree with it. You can bet on all the World Cup stuff at Bet Saracen, by the way. If you haven't signed up at Bet Saracen, you should try it out. If you do, you can get $250 back in bonus bucks. All you have to do is sign up at Bet Saracen, create an account, put $25 down on your first bet, and use the promo code BIDDY250, capital B, lowercase IDDY 250, and you will get $250 back in bonus bucks to use at Bet Saracen. Arkansas's number one sports betting app. Local guys.
Arkansas's Fab Five for Bet Saracen.
Yo, Sid, what spread you checking out, man?
I'm checking out the Hogs on Bet Saracen.
You know, Rainwater's exclusive specials and tons of Bet Saracen options make it Arkansas's favorite sports betting app.
And they take more action on the Hogs than any other sports book in the world.
Guys, I am confident. It's because we do their TV ads.
I agree with that.
Amen.
Bet Saracen.
Bet Saracen. Amen. All right. So we're going to have a very caller-driven show, question-driven show today. It's not drive time, but I will be on drive time later today. I just wanted to look at the football depth chart real quick, so maybe see if that brings up any stuff. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of random questions today, but we won't have a show on Thursday. Also, I'm in the Fayetteville four ball. So I haven't taken a vacation this summer, so that's kind of the vacation, I guess. KJ Jackson, who's I project to be the starter, I feel very confident in saying that, actually. I just think that AJ Hill has some more development to do, and maybe he's done a lot in this, training cycle that they're in right now. You know, the coaches get 8 hours a week to work with these guys. Well, I should rephrase that. The players have 8 hours a week to work with the coaches, because you spend at least four of those hours with the strength coach. So 4 hours a week can be spent with Ryan Silverfield and the coaches doing OTA type stuff and doing film study. 2 hours a week of OTAs, 2 hours a week of film study. And the other 4 hours, you're going to be with the strength staff. And then, players they work out on their own. They have player-led practice stuff, all that kind of stuff too. They're not just putting in 8 hours. They're putting in a lot more. But you used to not be able to do that, but now you can. And, I think they're breaking it up to about 14 practices total in terms of OTAs, just two practices a week. 1 hour practice. I think that's what they're doing, just kind of based on what I put together, what I'm hearing. And then they do the film study, of course, and they do, practice on their own and, of course, strength and conditioning. That's what's going on with the football team right now. But I do think KJ Jackson will be the starter. And it also got me thinking, like, who do you bring at SEC Media Days? Because we're not this weekend, not the next. Well, yeah, the next, after the next weekend. I think I fly out on the 19th to Tampa. So that's coming up. Who do you bring if you're Arkansas? And I was thinking about that a little bit last night. I don't know why. It just popped in my head. But so Quincy Rhodes, I think, is an obvious pick. He's been with the team. He came up through the high school ranks with Arkansas. He's obviously, they've got a lot of invested in Quincy. So I think he's a no-brainer. The other guy I think that makes a lot of sense is Caden Kittler at center, because he started last year. He didn't come up through the high school ranks, but he started last year. He's a multi-year starter in college football. He's a good interview, and he's a senior. So I think Caden Kittler makes a lot of sense at center. And then I was thinking, who else do you bring in? Do you bring in Bradley Shaw, another defensive player? Do you bring in... You can't bring in a defensive back. There's not really anybody back from last year. And then I was thinking, well, maybe he'd like to bring somebody with him who came from Memphis, somebody who followed him from Memphis. So, you've got Malachi Breland, AJ Hill, who I mentioned. I don't think you're bringing KJ, because if you bring KJ Jackson, you're essentially saying this is our starting quarterback. And as we know, they're holding a competition through fall camp. So I don't think you do that, but I think Sutton Smith makes the most sense. He's a senior. He played under Silverfield at Memphis and was productive. I think that makes a lot of sense. You got a guy who came from Arkansas, who came up from the high school ranks in Quincy Rhodes, a guy that'll draw some attention. I don't think you bring two defensive players if you bring an offensive lineman. And I think Kittler makes a lot of sense since he's a returning starter and a senior. And then I think Sutton Smith, you bring a skill guy with a little bit more flash. So Braylon Russell and Sutton Smith, I think that'll be a really, a combo type of situation with those guys. I see Sutton Smith as like a 10, 12 carry a game kind of back, who also will catch passes. Chris Marshall, C.J. Brown, Ismail Cece, way different than what EA Sports College Football has as their starting line. EA Sports has Chris Marshall, Donovan Faupel, and Jamari Hawkins, which it could end up being like that. There's still competition going on. But I think that's how it shakes out. I think Courtney Crutchfield and Antonio Jordan and Jamari Hawkins are your next guys up. Tight end, Jaden Platt. Left tackle, Kavian Broussard, which is, again, wrong in EA Sports. Malachi Breland at left guard. I think Malachi Breland has potential to be a good player for him this year. I think they have a potential to have a good offensive line, especially in the interior. Caden Kittler back, Kobe Brandon back. I like that interior. I like Bryant Williams. Obviously, they have a big investment in him. And then you're looking at most likely Kevin Broussard, as I mentioned, at left tackle with Josiah Clemens backing him up. They've moved Terrence Robertson in to left guard. And then you've got Cash Courtney as kind of that inside guy. And Adam Hawks is another guy they like. So what I like about the offensive line is they invested for the future, and they also invested, you know, for this year. Quincy Rose, as I mentioned, David Oakey, I think he'll battle with Carlin Jones for that nose tackle spot. Hunter Osborne, who they refer to as a four-dimensional player. Charlie Collins, Steven Souls, or Jamonte Waller. It could be any one of those guys. I think it's going to end up being Charlie Collins. But, you know, Collins was a top 100 prospect out of high school. He's a junior. Jamonte Waller was also in that class and was a top 100. I think he was the number 95 composite player in the country. He's a redshirt sophomore. You've got some talent at that spot. And I've talked about the defensive line, including that jack position, how I just feel like they've just done a really good job putting together depth there. Bradley Shaw and Jaquavion Smith, I think, are your starting linebackers. Keep an eye on Phoenix Jackson. He was banged up a good bit. But keep an eye on him. And then I think Wyatt Simmons right now is your third linebacker. You've also got Ben Bogle, who's got a lot of experience. But keep an eye on Phoenix Jackson. Banged up a little bit in the spring. But I think Bradley Shaw and Jaquavion Smith right now. Kamori House is a guy they think has NFL ability at the star position. He'll be backed up by Carter Stoutmeyer. But Carter Stoutmeyer can play a lot of spots. He can play safety as he did at Colorado last year and started for them. So he can play a lot of spots. And Kamori House can play, you know, that nickel spot, and he could play some linebacker. He led North Carolina in tackles last year at linebacker. They didn't do Kamori House any favors on the EA Sports game. He's a 77 overall. He was a team captain at North Carolina, a four-star transfer, and led the Tar Heels in tackles last season. He's a 77 overall. Christian Harrison also pretty lowly ranked to be what I think is the team's best safety. But Christian Harrison, I think, starts at free safety, weak safety. Weak safety, I think, is a battle. Kiari McGlure, who's listed as a cornerback on EA. Miguel Mitchell, who was the team's second fastest player according to miles per hour speed, peak speed, tied with Mike Washington last year. The only fast defensive back that they had on the team last year. And then Jaheim Johnson and Lakai Rowland is your starting cornerbacks with Shelton Lewis pushing. They like DJ Harrison, too. He's shown up a little bit. Max Gilbert, starting kicker. Braden McAllister, I think, will kick off, and Gavin Rush will punt with Adam Johnson as your long snapper. That's how I see things playing out on the Arkansas depth chart. We'll see. You know, there's always something that surprises you as fall camp unfolds, but we're not far. They'll report August 4th and then get things going on August 5th. I'm not sure what kind of access we'll have. In the spring, we were granted about an hour, maybe a little bit more. Of course, we watched the red-white game, but that was the only real full scrimmage that we watched. We watched some scrimmage action here and there, but was pretty limited as far as our exposure to that. So I thought this was a good post by Razorback NYC, Razorback in NYC. He broke down everybody's like top four returning offensive linemen. And, you know, that means you could also be on another team and go, you know, end up at Arkansas, like Malachi Brennan coming from Memphis. But he broke it down. Arkansas had the sixth best pass protection grade in terms of, what is it? Press percentage? I'm not sure what you're saying. Press percentage. Sack percentage, not on sack percentage. They were good on sack percentage, though. But anyway, the sixth best with Kittler, Breland, Branham, and Bryant Williams. So maybe they'll be okay on the offensive line. I think that they'll be somewhat comparable to what they were last year. And I thought last year we had a pretty good offensive line. Pretty good. A lot better than the year before. A lot better than the year before that and the year before that, you know. So I thought that they – I mean, you had a 1,000-yard back. Taylen Green ran for a ton of yards. So That's my thoughts. Hey, you guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years. And when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, and when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like auto owners insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy? Call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto owner's insurance intended it that way so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto owner's insurance owns an AM Best Rating A+ Superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Biddle Armstrong Insurance. Coverage you need, people you trust. Okay, let's get some questions now. Hopefully we've got some built up. See some comments developing. We're going to the Razor's Edge Premium Forum, which if you're not subscribed to Hog Sports, it's a good time to sign up right now with everything that's about to start happening. And it's 50% off right now at hawgsports.com. No promo code needed. Just go to Hog Sports and sign up. Razorback in NYC says, fastest mile you've ever ran and when it was, and fastest you think you could run one today. The fastest mile I ever did, it was under 6.5 minutes. I was in ninth grade in PE. Coach Hawkins, I think we had to run like a 12-minute mile or something with the presidential fitness challenge thing. You guys remember that? You all did it. And I think he told us we had to do it in like 6 minutes, like told all the guys because we were all in track and stuff. But I don't know if you can look at me. I am built more for quick burst of energy. I'm not, as much as I have run in the past and stuff, I am not a good distance runner. I just never have been. The longest I think I've ever run consecutively is 3.2 miles, a 5K. So about 5 years ago, I could do it in about 8 minutes. Today, I'm a little out of shape and a little older. I think probably if I went out and ran a mile right now, I would hope to break 10 minutes. So wouldn't be pretty. But my fastest was probably, I think, 6.5 minutes. I can remember that day, Stuart Harrington, who was he ran distance and stuff. And like he collapsed right in front of the finish line and acted like he had passed out and just kind of crawled across it, just mocking. And I remember I got finished and I was like, barely breathe. Razorback in NYC says, what's one thing you'd like to see the athletic department and the football program adopt to be more disruptive on a national level? One thing to be more disruptive on a national level. Well, I would like to see them. I would have liked to have seen them, first of all, get a quarterback. And it's nothing against KJ Jackson. I just think you've got so much invested in your team. And maybe you don't end up with as much depth overall. I mean, you got to balance things out. But, man, I would feel a lot more comfortable about this team and their shot this year if I knew that they had a quarterback. And I don't think that anybody knows that. So I don't think it was the kid who ended up at Illinois. I'm not looking at that guy and saying that's a difference maker. But if the NCAA isn't doing anything, then I hate to say just go poach people off people's roster, but everybody's doing it. Like, until they crack down on it, like it's almost just like, think about all the Ole Miss stuff. You got Dabo Swinney up there talking about all this stuff. Like, when's the last time you heard about anything that happens to Ole Miss, any kind of punishment or anything? I can remember when Hunter Yurecek, when Madni Amaliava transferred from Arkansas, and you got all this harsh language. We're gonna exhaust every avenue to recoup that money. Which is probably about $300,000. You hear anything about that? I hear a lot of big words and threats and stuff, but I don't see any action. Like, what's happened to Ole Miss? Are they worse now? So I guess I hate to say just like because I don't want to be a cheat, but everybody's just going to take people off other people's roster. Go get a quarterback. And I hope KJ Jackson's good. And he might be, but I don't think there's any way to know. So that would be probably the one thing I'd like to see from the football program. As far as the athletic department, just continue to be more aggressive, I guess. Like, I know that's very broad, but I guess more aggressive. And I would like to see this. I think the stadium atmosphere, you know, improving would be better. But also maybe I don't know if they have any power to do anything with Greg Sankey and his abuse of Arkansas in terms of scheduling and matchups and stuff. Like, I mean, even the schedule this year, like you don't play Alabama anymore when Nick Saban's gone. There's no Kentucky on Arkansas' schedule. There's no Mississippi State on Arkansas' schedule. You know, it's like, well, it's now that Vanderbilt's good, Vanderbilt's going back on Arkansas' schedule. You know, it's like, why does it always work out just perfect where teams that are on the rise find themselves on Arkansas' schedule? And, you know, you've heard my talk about Georgia being the opener. I told you they would either send Arkansas on the road to open SEC play like they almost always do, or they'd give them a really challenging opponent like Georgia at home to open SEC play. And that's exactly what they did. It was couldn't have been more predictable. So I guess more aggressiveness to answer your question. I would like to see them be more aggressive. Crestfallen Hog fan says, Crestfallen Hog fan, ready for some fall camp coverage. You know what kind of access Silverfield is going to allow the media? I would assume that we get some access here and there. I'm not expecting full practice. I'm not expecting a whole lot of scrimmage exposure, but I would hope we'd get some kind of exposure. I mentioned, by the way, you know, in terms of an investment and stuff, and I talk about like enhancement for the stadium and stuff, but like, you know, it all comes down to money. You got to have more money. But I think, you know, Sam Pittman's biggest contribution to the facilities at Arkansas was getting air conditioning in the Walker Pavilion, which, you know, you may say like, now you need it hotter and stuff. That's, yeah, maybe in fall camp, you know, you want to push him and all that kind of stuff. But on a Thursday practice, when you don't want anybody to see what you're doing and you go inside the Walker Pavilion to practice it, you want it to be air conditioned because you want to get the guys, you know, start getting the guys back healthy. You know, Friday walkthroughs, you want it to be, you know, air conditioned. But the big screen that they're putting in the Walker Pavilion, they're putting a giant Jumbotron screen so they can break down stuff at practice, put it on the screen, execute it in practice. I think that's fantastic. I never really even thought about that, but I think that's a really nice addition that they've done. And I want to see LEDs, of course. I want to see just overall enhancement. If you notice on the, you know, a lot of people were asking for, what is it, War Pigs, which isn't anything about pig. It's a political song, really. But, you know, Arkansas came out to that song in the intro. You know, Silverfield, I feel like, recognizes a lot of the issues that Arkansas has. And I think probably when he got here, because it's all very fast, you know, I think some of the stuff surprised him a little bit that, you know, where the areas where Arkansas needs upgrades. I don't want to repeat myself on that, but I think he's got his finger on a lot of things. And I think that includes improving the game day atmosphere. I think we're going to see some changes and hopefully some stuff for the better. As far, again, as the coverage that we're allowed, I'm guessing early on we'll get a good bit more coverage, you know, access, and it maybe taper off. And then when the season gets here, I'm not expecting to be watching any practices, which I understand. I think the NCAA, one of the things where it's missed the mark is something the NFL does. The NFL mandates that you have to open practices to the media. Okay, so every team's doing this. So there's no disadvantage for you opening your practices to the media. If the NCAA recognized that and recognized that people want this kind of coverage, they want to know what's going on with their team, instead of people being so secretive, like not answering any kind of questions, covering everything up, if they recognize that is better for the game, I feel like they missed the mark on that. And Arkansas is usually better about now it's obviously tapered off over the years, Each new coach that comes in, it seems like there has been less access. I don't know if that's the case right now with Silverfield versus when Pittman was here earlier, but Arkansas generally gives more access to the media, and I think they do feel a responsibility as being the number one show in town, you know, versus, you know, Missouri's got, you know, pro sports teams and stuff like that in addition. Or, you know, Alabama's got Auburn and Alabama and, you know, Troy and whatever else, you know. But I think that they feel that responsibility that, you know, the sports page needs to be filled, and it can be filled with Razorback news. Big Salty Hog says, understand your opinion on high four-star guys that may take a couple of years to develop, but what about going after five-star high school players that will make an impact right out of high school? Why does Arkansas need to spend one of those guys? Okay, so similar to Arkansas basketball. Well, Arkansas basketball, I mean, basketball is different, obviously. Like, you're not going to see very many players ever who come out of high school and are ready to go from high school, 1 year in college, to the NFL. There's not a lot. Maybe a couple running backs here and there. Very few players are coming out of high. Like, you can see guys that can come out of high school and go to the NBA and play. I don't think you see anybody like that in football. I think there you just need so much more development in football, physical development. You just don't see freshmen in football make the impact that a five-star basketball player makes in college. And a lot of it's because of the development that you need. And I think that's it. Like, you can bring in a five-star if you're Arkansas. It's going to cost you a couple million dollars. Like, it could cost you to get them to Arkansas a couple million dollars, depending on the position that they play. A four-star quarterback, a good four-star quarterback, is $500,000 in a lot of cases. They're at least $300,000 upward, you know, to $500,000. $500,000. I mean, saying that's almost like, no, that's not true. You know, yeah, it is true. A five-star quarterback is going to be millions of dollars. And that's a huge part of your budget. So it doesn't make a lot of sense unless that guy's for sure coming in and starting for you next year. So that's why. I just think the value is not there for Arkansas, because you do have to make sure that you put together a roster that is competitive and ready to go versus bringing in a five-star left tackle who's still learning on the job and is okay, but, you know what I mean? Pig Venus, come on. How many more years do you think Cal and DBH will coach? I think about five. DBH is 65. I think he goes till he's 70, or wins. I think he would retire if they won the national championship, which is a crapshoot in college baseball, as we know. I've made my point on that so many times. I hate, and congrats Oklahoma, you know, but they were the 11th team in the SEC, the 11th team out of the SEC, and they won the national championship. That never happens in basketball, and it never happens in football. I guess it's happened one time in basketball when NC State won, and they were, I think, a 7 seed maybe. So, yeah, it's happened. Butler's almost won, I guess, before, but didn't. But the thing is, with basketball, it is always, almost always, one of the top 8 teams. And really, when you think about it, you're like, okay, this is actually the best team in the country. You know, you can make an argument generally for the 2 seeds to be 1 seeds in a lot of cases. You know, it's very subjective. But I think we feel like at the end, with basketball, the best team almost always won the national championship. With football, almost exclusively, the best team wins the national championship. People say, well, what about Indiana? Indiana won the national championship. What about them? Well, I mean, they were the best team. It's not like Indiana was a Cinderella. I mean, they're beating Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. They're knocking off, you know, all these teams in front of them. It's not like, you know, they just, you know, they squeaked into the playoffs and then won the national championship. They were the number one team. They were the favorite to win it. So, Yeah, the best team in football almost always wins. And that's what I don't like about baseball. And that's why I think it's very uncertain for DBH to win one. Now, it's happened. Obviously, LSU last year, Tennessee the year before that. You know, but that kind of bucks the trend of what was a longstanding kind of deal where the best teams weren't winning the national championship. Cal is 67, so I think maybe 72 for Cal. I think maybe we get five more years out of both of those guys, maybe. Maybe four for Cal. I don't know. It just depends. I mean, I think a lot of coaches don't view it as like a rush to retirement. You know, Pittman kind of did. Pittman was kind of ready to retire. But I think most coaches don't rush to retire because I think coaching, as hard of work it is, I think it's also there's a lot of reward, and I think it's fun for them, you know, to build their programs, to be the head guy. So, Willie B. Hardigan says, would you rather spend, I don't even know if I can say this, but yeah, I'm just going to pass on that one, Willie. Kind of weird. Lawhog says, Lawhog27 says, who is the most likely option to complement Quincy on the D-line this season based on what you've seen so far? If offenses can slide protection, double team him, it could be another long season on the defensive side of the ball. I think that Arkansas, I've said this before, I think we're going to come out of this season saying, you know what, the defensive line was pretty good for Arkansas. So I would probably say Hunter Osborne would be a guy that could complement him. Now, Osborne is going to be on the other side. So you've got David Oakey, David Oakey's pretty quick player. He's undersized. He's not super, super big or super long. I say watch out for Carlin Jones, too. You know, Zadavian Sims, I think, will play a good bit. But I think Carlin Jones is maybe pushing Oakey a little bit at the nose. So, I mean, obviously you'd say the guy that's next to Quincy. I mean, you're going to have basically, you know, you'll have Quincy, Hunter, you have, as far as what's starting right now, Quincy, David Oakey, And on the other side, Hunter Osborne. And then on the other side of Hunter Osborne, you know, as the hybrid, you'll have, you know, Charlie Collins, Jermonte Waller, Steven Souls, one of those guys. So that's how it'll kind of line up. But, yeah, I mean, the easy answer would be the guy that's next to Quincy, and that would be Oakey or Carlin Jones. Hey, if you guys haven't checked out Blakeman's Fine Jewelry, proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. You can reach them at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers, Arkansas, 72758. They've had an exciting year in the new flagship location and are continuing that in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a coffee beverage from Cafe B, or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which is available at several stores in Northwest Arkansas. Built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been the number one destination in Arkansas for exceptional jewelry. Again, the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. It's where Cal gets his jewelry. I know Calipari was in there. Okay, Josh Weaver, 1115, says, not a question, I just want our football to win, damn it. Trey, you deserve it. We deserve it. And the whole state deserves it. Hopefully CRS understands. I think he does. I mean, yeah, he wants to win for the players and for himself, too. I mean, I think that's important. Like Ivan Drago, for me. But I think that's important to want to win for yourself, too. I mean, and I think he gets that. I think he gets where we've been as a football program, how the state feels. I mean, I think it's – I was talking to somebody up there the other day, and they're like – you know, there's 65 new players on this team, only like 20-something guys back from last year, and all they're hearing is how bad they suck. They're like, we weren't even here last year. But I hear people talk about, like, I was playing golf the other day, and people were just talking about how bad Arkansas sucks, how bad they're going to suck this year. I mean, the whole team is new. The coach is new. The whole staff is new, except for Morgan Turner. I mean, everybody's new. Except for a handful of guys. Who's not new that's a contributor on this team looking ahead? Caden Kittler, Kobe Branham, Jaden Platt, C.J. Brown. Ismail Cece's back, but he didn't play last year because he had the wrist injury. Braylon Russell, K.J. Jackson, Quincy Rhodes. Charlie Collins played a decent bit. Bradley Shaw started about almost half the games last year. Wyatt Simmons played a little bit, but I don't know if I would count him. Miguel Mitchell. I mean, you're looking at like 10 guys on this team who contributed last year, you know, in a notable way. That's it. Not a lot of guys. And a lot of those guys aren't starting, you know. Some of them are, but, you know, it's kind of a mix. I guess most of them would be. And I do deserve it. You deserve it, and I deserve it. We invest too much into this. Like, think about your day. You wake up. I used to wake up just like kind of like open my eyes. It's game day. You know, you get the fight song playing in your chance. Damn it, there's a chance today. They got a shot. And you don't feel like that anymore. You just feel like, man, I hope they at least make it a game so we're not leaving in the first half. We at least watch a football game. Like, that's where we are. That's sad. That's where we've been mentally. Sucks. But that's how you used to wake up. You know, I mean, like, even people would get on the radio bitching on Monday about how the game played out and all this stuff. And by Wednesday, you start talking yourself into having a chance again. And now it's just like how bad they suck. Any idea how much money the program is from Law Hog? Any idea how much the program is getting for wearing the Tyson patches on the jerseys and how it'll be allocated? I assume it is an eight-figure deal. It is not a nine-figure deal. Let's see. So, John Tyson explicitly dismissed rumors of a nine-figure deal, stating it's not $100 million. Let's put it that way. While confirming it is a multi-year arrangement. According to research by Learfield and Wasserman, major college jersey patch deals are valued between $500,000 to over $12 million annually, depending on the school's market size. So, I don't know if it's an eight-figure deal, then maybe $10 million. I don't know. Arkansas is not a huge market, you know, so, but it is in the SEC. And you also have to consider, you know, the opponents you play. You know, everybody's going to see those patches. UNLV signed a narrower jersey patch deal covering fewer sports for $2.2 million annually. So Arkansas's deal is supposed to be one of the more lucrative. An alleged 90% of the total revenue generated from the partnership gets funneled directly to Arkansas players through name, image, and likeness. So that's a pretty sweet deal. But you also have the stadium deal that gets, you know, that goes to the players also. So not an official number, but millions of dollars over multiple years also. Gun 1911 says, off the wall questions. Do you still enjoy what you do for a living? How about your family life? Do you know you are a celebrity? So give us some insight on your wife and daughter and they how they're doing. Asking for the wife, believe it or not, she is the one to ask that has Trey done his only daughter. So, of course I enjoy what I do. I mean, I could be doing... I don't really have any other discernible skills, so I don't know what I would be doing really. Like, maybe I'd be a starving artist. I do enjoy painting and drawing, little known fact about me. But yes, I enjoy what I do, of course. I wish that Arkansas was just winning. I mean, that's the bottom line of it, but I get to in a way, I feel like I get to kind of lead the charge in Arkansas Razorback coverage and be the person that brings it to people and be a person that people look to for that kind of information. That's pretty cool. And yes, I know. Like I have people come up to me all the time. It didn't used to happen. It used to happen in Little Rock a lot because I was on drive time and that was, you know, in that market and people would hear my voice or say something. I was on a bus in Colorado one time. And the lights were off in the bus. It was dark, and we were going back to our place. And I said something, and somebody goes, "Whoa, is Trey Biddy on this bus?" It just heard my voice, so that was kind of wild. But yeah, I mean, it's I like when people come up and talk, and I hate when people say, yeah, I saw Trey so and so, you know, such and such place. And I'm like, why didn't you come up and say hello? Like, people think they bug me talking about the Hogs, and that's not true. I mean, there's times where, like, I'm just like, I just did, you know, an hour podcast, you know. But generally, that's what I like doing. That's why I got into this job. I'm probably one of the few people, you know, that's actually doing what they want to do. Inside on my wife and daughter, are they doing good? Yeah, I mean, football season comes along, and it's, you know, I miss dinners, and I miss certain things. I mean, it's part of the job, but I do really try, you know, in the summer to make sure. Of course, my daughter's getting, you know, older now, and so the time she wants to spend with me is waned a little bit more. She wants to hang out with her friends and stuff. I get that. That's just part of it. But during football season, I just, you know, it can get strenuous. Sure. Asking for the wife, believe it or not, she is the one that asks me, has Trey done his walk and talk yet after the game? You know, the walk and talk is actually something that, like, as far as people watching this, we're probably 95% or better male. You know, don't really reach the female audience. But the walk and talk is like a family affair. Like, people tell me that they watch it together. They'll wait the next morning and they'll watch it. The one person told me they call it Coffee with Trey Biddy. They sit around and drink coffee and put me on TV. A lot of people tell me they don't end their watch party until the walk and talk, and they put it up on the big screen for everybody to watch. A lot of people like to go watch it alone by themselves and are like, this is how I want to do it. You know, I don't want to watch it with you guys. I need to watch it by myself. A lot of people tell me it's therapy for them. I think it's therapy for me. Like, getting just, it's just a constant stream. It's just a stream of consciousness, you know, and sometimes I don't really even know what I'm saying. It's just coming out. And I'm like, at the end, I'm always usually like, well, that kind of sucked. That's embarrassing. But damn, I feel a lot better, you know, getting all that off my chest. You know, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm still mad, I guess. But usually I feel like I feel better after I wrap it up, you know. So, Porcine Prophet says, what uniform combos would you like to see in the future? Favorites from the past? You know, I just want the uniforms to look good. Okay. Like, I'm not a big, like, oh, don't ever do this, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with that. Rick Schaefer, I love dearly. Rick Schaefer is like that. He doesn't want to change uniforms. You know, he wants them to be standard. I just want them to look good. I like them to look clean. You know, I don't like a bunch of crap, and we're going to see a little more. Not that Tyson, I didn't mean that. It's not crap. I just mean we're going to see, you know, a lot more stuff on the jersey. But like when Arkansas switched over to Nike and, you know, you had, I think the Adidas ones were the ones with the tusks up the side. That's just, it's loud. It's not needed. The buzzsaw side, you know, with all the, just so much crap all over the uniform. It's just not a clean, sharp look. And that's what I like. I like it to be clean and sharp, and maybe simple in a way, but also, like, you know, when they had the shading in the back of the helmet, like, that was just so tacky and terrible, just terrible. I didn't mind the chrome anthracite helmets. I like the chrome red helmets better, but I didn't mind the chrome anthracite. I did not like the faded jersey number look thing that they had going on for a while. I don't like the anthracite jerseys overall. I think it looks like when you mix all the paint together, all the watercolors together, this is the color you get. So I'm not a huge fan of that. But as far as combinations, I just find myself drawn to red helmet, red jersey. Also, you remember when they did the first Arkansas jersey they had for a number of years? I think it was under Bielema, wasn't it? Yeah, it was under Bielema. And they did the tusks up the shoulder pads. And it's just like, man, these are great looking uniforms. Why'd they have to put those stupid tusks on there? You know, that looks dumb. Like, I get a Hog has tusk and we embrace the tusk, but that looks stupid. Having these two points coming up the side of the jersey. That's stupid. And thankfully they removed that, and it's a lot cleaner looking jersey. I'm not a huge fan of the Arkansas font. It's okay. A little Arizona Diamondback looking-y. But uniform combination, throwback, I like the, you know, the traditional. I do like the traditional uniforms. I like the McFadden uniforms. I do think maybe it's time to move on past that. Like, that was a great era for Razorback in, you know, the 2000s, you know, in some ways, in a lot of ways it wasn't. But the McFadden era uniforms, since they've reintroduced them, have not been a very successful uniform combination. Just haven't. Yeah. So I don't know. I just want something clean. You know, when we play the EA Sports game, I don't ever mess with the uniforms and stuff. I guess care as much. But you talk about LED light show. What songs would you recommend for that? Would it be pregame or halftime? I've mentioned, like, you got to find something that fits and something that everybody kind of knows, that the majority of people know. Like, you can't just play all new stuff because you leave out the old people. You can't play all old stuff because, you know, the new people want to hear something. So it's got to be stuff like that everybody can kind of get around, you know, like everybody singing, you know, Country Roads at the soccer matches, at the football matches. Everybody's playing Country Roads. Everybody knows that song. When I went to Europe, I remember I was in Amsterdam, and I mean, I heard that song more than any other song that was played. I mean, people love that song over there in Europe. So everybody in the stadiums, you know, they're playing that, and everybody who's, you know, from another country knows that song, and everybody's singing along. Sweet Caroline played the other day, and I just always think about Alabama. You know, they're beating the crap out of you. It's the fourth quarter, and the whole stadium's singing Sweet Caroline, you know. And Alabama has a lot of great songs because they can use, you know, stuff from Lynyrd Skynyrd. They use a lot of metal, a lot of heavy metal. And they have Alabama, the band, one of the greatest country bands ever. And that whole catalog is open to them because the name of the band is Alabama. And they all sing it, and they all got their little sing-along words. The whole game day is like a sing-along. And then, you know, you've got Louisiana, LSU. You've got, you know, that Baton Rouge song, and Baton Rouge, that song. And you've got Louisiana Saturday Night. You've got a lot of great songs if you're those schools. And then West Virginia, you know, is probably going to play a lot of that, you know, Country Roads and all that kind of stuff. But Arkansas, just, they don't have a lot of great Arkansas songs. I'm not a big fan of Everybody Knows I'm All Wild, Hank Williams Jr. song. Chris Stapleton's got a good Arkansas song, but there's not a lot of great Arkansas songs. So you have to find stuff that you can kind of make your own, you know, that everybody can kind of get involved in. And that's part of having a great atmosphere is music. You know, you don't want to wipe out the hog call at all. You got to make sure the hog call is implemented, but you need great music. You need stuff that gets people excited and stuff. People that, you know, get you engaged. I mentioned the NBA game I went to. I went to the playoff game, game two of the Spurs and OKC. And I'm not a big fan of music during the game, which the NBA does. But I felt engaged the whole time. It just kind of felt like we were at a party, you know, watching a basketball game, you know, watching some of the greatest athletes in the world. And just kind of doing it while we're at a party, you know. And I'm not saying that college football should feel like that because it's different. It, you know, there's a little bit more pageantry and stuff like that with college ball. But I don't, you know, we don't need to hear Eastbound and Down, as I said, like when the game is on the line against Auburn. Like, I'm dying for refreshing the game day experience. They did, like, they changed some things up with the intro and stuff, like with the pyrotechnics and all that kind of stuff. But the start of a football game needs to feel like WrestleMania with explosions and, you know, I don't know. Hell, I wouldn't mind if they came into the Hulk Hogan. Well, the sun's coming down and it hurts inside. I am a real American. But something, you know, like something that's, it should feel like WrestleMania to me when you come out to the field. Who's going to win the World Cup? I have no idea. I mean, I watched the USA stuff when they've played. And I mean, the most like action that I've actually sat down and watched an entire game start to finish, which I think they added, what, 11 minutes to it, was the Mexico and England game. And I was pulling on Mexico. I don't know why. I just found myself rooting on Mexico. Maybe it's because it was 4th of July and we're not worried about the English. Bluff City Razorback says, do you believe we can be 6-6 or better if our quarterback will just be a successful game manager, not a lot of really great plays, but eliminate bad plays? Yeah, I do. I do think that. I think if you can manage a football game, not turn the ball over, not make stupid penalties, and play smart, you can and should go to a bowl game if you have this roster. If you have a quarterback, if KJ Jackson is successful at managing the game, not doing a bunch of stupid stuff, but yeah, not doing a lot of great stuff, you might have a good enough defense to keep you in games and give you a chance to get to 6-6. Yes, I believe that. I'm not saying that's what I'm expecting to see, but I believe that can happen. Quackbuster says, is there less interest in football this year? Have you felt that with the Razorback? Hey, real quick, I need to tell you about our friends over at Ozarks Go, since we don't have a guest on today's show, letting everybody kind of recover from 4th of July weekend. But you can reach out to them at 479-684-4900 if you're looking for fast, reliable, consistent internet service, or go to ozarksgo.net/hog. That's H-A-W-G. And it's a local company. They're not going to jack your rates up from year one to year two. And I have been extremely pleased. I have never unplugged my router. It has always worked. Always. I've never had an unexpected downtime with Ozarks Go. And that's the truth. And I've been with them for, I think, over 5 years now. Let's see, I moved into this house in 2021, so I've been with them ever since we moved in. Okay. I need to refresh this. See if we got any more questions here. Hypothetically, if we beat Memphis last year, do you think we would have hired Silverfield? Possibly, yeah. I mean, I think that he was... When, as far as Arkansas is in the pecking order, and as far as people's idea of who is coveted and who isn't, I think that he was probably the best option in that slot out there for Arkansas and what their program is and where he is in his career. I think it was probably a fair match. I don't think that Arkansas way overshot like they did when they got Brett Bielema. That was viewed as probably the biggest hire of the offseason that year. But I think that they, you know, I think they just kind of matched up pretty good. Yeah, don't know who's going to win the World Cup. Bluff City Razorback says, oh, yeah, we did that one. Quackbuster, we did that one. I don't think we did this one. Is there less interest in football this year? I don't think so. I think you have a little bit more hope, and you can sell hope a lot better than you can apathy. And there is apathy. Don't get me wrong on that. But people... The last couple of years under Pittman, after that 4-win season, people, their opinion of Pittman changed pretty dramatically. And the apathy really set in. I think that when you have a coaching change, there is an opportunity to sell hope. And I was talking to somebody that I really respect and like a lot the other day. And she was telling me that when Silverfield was hired, she was irate. It took about a day for her to, you know, embrace and change. And people I talked to throughout the process, I remember this old guy I was talking to over on the golf course, and he was like, hell, I'm doubling my donation. You know, I'm 70 years old. I don't know how many more of these I got, and I'm ready to win, damn it. And I think there's a lot of people like that. Obviously, the money is improved. It's not upper echelon money, but Arkansas was pretty budget football program in the past. And you're just not going to win. You cannot win in college football in this day and age being a freaking $16 million football roster, which is probably close to what they were. Probably wasn't much better than that. And that's pretty budget. I've heard that number floated around. I don't know if that's 100% true. That's pretty low. Is there less interest with football this year? Have you felt that with the Razorbacks? I do think that you know, I don't think it's less than it was last year or the year before. I think, you know, I think you have rebounded up. It's not where you want it, but it has rebounded up. And make no mistake, if Arkansas football starts winning again, the vibe around here will change. And, you know, I've talked about, like, yeah, basketball's great to win in basketball. It's fun when the basketball team's rolling. It is. It's a lot of fun. But when the football team is good, the whole energy of the state kind of changes. It really does. It's just a little different. It's just a bigger deal for some reason. I don't know why that is, but it is. And people say stuff like, this is a basketball state, or this is a baseball state, or this is a track state. But I can assure you, this is very much a football state in terms of fan interest and readership. And I mean, I think if you ask most people around here, like, who was it? What AD was recently hired? He made a great point. Like, you cannot be a successful athletic department without a quality football program. And that's the truth. Like, you can be Kansas basketball and all this and stuff, but everybody knows that when it comes time for football, Kansas is most likely getting the crap kicked out of them. They haven't some years recently, but nobody respects Kansas football. I don't mean that any kind of way. Great basketball program and tradition, but I agree with the guy. Like, Michigan, like, you can respect Michigan's athletic department because they do football and they do basketball. You know what I mean? To me, you need to have both. You need to have football before you can have basketball be great. Football, and I don't mean like football has to be like competing for national championships and stuff, but football needs to be, you know, Florida would be another one back in, you know, Billy Donovan days, Urban Meyer days, like when they were winning in both. Can you imagine what that was like to be a part of that? And overall, do you think the interest is falling out due to the drama with the NIL and transfer portals? I think people are frustrated with NIL and transfer portals, but I think when the season gets here, that kind of goes away and people just start worrying about the game. And, you know, I was talking to somebody who's like, man, I don't even know anybody's name on the team. That's a poor impression. He's actually a pretty sharp guy. But I don't know anybody's name on the team. How am I supposed to get excited about it? And I was like, do you know who Mike Washington is? Yeah. You know who Rowan Jones is? Yeah. Did you know who they were this time last year? No. You'll get to know them. You'll get to know them. I know I found myself more interested in basketball, but that might just be because they're performing better. Absolutely, because they're performing better. Hog Wild and Bama 1991 says, if you could only cover one game for next year in both football and basketball, who would it be and why? Well, it's not going to be at Auburn, Alabama, I can tell you that. One game next year. I'm going to pick on a away game just because, you know. I do not like necessarily College Station as a town. I mean, it's okay. I haven't been there in a while, but I haven't seen the new Kyle Field. And I feel like to be able to justify my like stadium rankings and stuff, I have to see Kyle Field, the new version. And I'll see the new version of Vanderbilt this year also. And next year I'll see OU for the first time. Those are the only place I haven't been to is Oklahoma. But I haven't seen the new Kyle Field. I haven't seen the new Vanderbilt. So I will say going to College Station is probably the game. Utah is up there, but A&M is an SEC game. Runner-up probably be at Texas, I think is going to be. LSU maybe. I mean, playing LSU that late in the season in Fayetteville and not in War Memorial, that's different. But at Texas, you know, I was saying this on Drive Time the other day, just the ease of a larger city like Austin versus going to Auburn. The struggle of getting to Auburn, Alabama, because you have to, you know, fly into either Birmingham or Atlanta. I usually fly into Atlanta, and then it's a 2-hour drive from Atlanta, which I'm not a big fan of the Atlanta airport personally, or dealing with rental car counters. Those guys, I guess you don't have to do that anymore. You can use Turo. But, you know, I would stay like halfway. It's 11 o'clock game also. And then the press box is in the end zone. Now, Texas has moved their press box to the end zone, which I may do the press box, and I may get a ticket and sit in the stands. I may do that. But Texas, you fly into Austin, and they do some messed up stuff with their credentialing. Like, you got to go pick up your credentials at this faraway place, and that's a little bit annoying. But now that I know, it won't be. But I rode my scooter. I rode a scooter from 6th Street, where the hotel was, you know, cross 5th Street, all that kind of stuff. But I rode a scooter from the stadium to my hotel. It was, you know, a mile and a half away, if that. Like, maybe it was a little bit farther, but it wasn't far. It wasn't far, far. Anyway, I like ease. And some of these college towns, it's difficult. It's hard to get to Starkville. It's hard to get to Ole Miss, which, crazy, Arkansas is not playing either of those schools this year. Vanderbilt, it's easy to get to. Columbia is a drive, but it's not that bad. You just have to drive it. I haven't been to South Carolina in a number of years, but I don't remember that being too difficult. I can remember South Carolina one year, back when Hogs Illustrated was owned by Stevens, and they would get to use the Stevens plane. So they would load up all their, you know, people on the Stevens plane. I remember sitting in the press box after this forever travel to get to Columbia, South Carolina, and I'm looking out, and you could see the runway for the local airport there. And I remember seeing that Stevens plane flying, and then Clay and on Dudley and all those guys came in and sat down. And then the game's over, and I think one of them looked at the other one and go, y'all want to finish everything up on the plane? And they're flying back. And I'm thinking they're going to tuck their kids in. You know, not they had Clay and Dudley's older kids, but I guess, but you know, the other riders, like, they're tucking their kids in. I'm going to go stay in a hotel and have like multiple connections tomorrow to get back. So, yeah, it's harder, I guess, to get to South Carolina than you would like. You like direct, obviously. Direct flight's the way to go if you can get it. Hog Wild and Bama, I answered that. Yeah, I think I would say Texas A&M. The next one, I think maybe that LSU game in Fayetteville after Thanksgiving. Lawhog says, Trey, I didn't watch a lot of Memphis last year. Any idea what kind of personnel groupings we can expect to see on offense? You can expect to see multiple personnel groupings. Probably, you know, you would think of them as a standard 11 personnel. One tight end, one running back, three wide receivers. Probably what you're going to see most, but you can see them split out a lot. You're going to see a lot of throws to the running backs. You're going to see a lot of screen passes, both running backs and wide receivers, swing passes to the backs, throws to the flats, some downfield passing also, a lot of one-read stuff, RPO. You'll see a lot of that. And Ryan Silverfield's favorite play is a pin and pull, which I like a pin and pull. Tyler Tober said, did anything come out of the lawsuit with Madden Amaliava? I don't know that there was ever even a lawsuit. Just a lot of big talk, seemed like. All right. We've gone forever here. That's one of our longer shows. I didn't think it was going to be that long, but it is. Hey, check out our friends over at Back Nine Golf in Fayetteville. Just go to the back9golf.com. Book a free demo. That place is open 24/7. There's four hitting bays. There's pool table, BYOB or whatever you want to drink. I mean, just go hang out. There's TVs everywhere. There's couches, massage chairs. Pretty sweet setup if you like working on your golf game or just getting together with friends and playing around a golf. Play wherever. All right, everybody. Appreciate you joining me. Thanks for all the questions. This has been and this is the only show this week, by the way. Okay, so we're not going to have the show on Thursday, and then we'll be back with you guys on Monday. Oh yeah, this has been Trey Biddy with HogSports.com. We'll catch you next time. Oh,